Everyone, and welcome back to Anime Was Not a Mistake, our humble little anime retrospective podcast. We are currently recording at the Dark Wizard Landscaping Company in New Jersey.
I was gonna say I'm right here live on the scene at the Four Seasons next to the crematorium and the Dick Emporium. Jonathan Kwiatkowski, of course,
look out for us if you're in the area.
Oh, God.
What a week, Dan. What a week we've had. Ups, yeah. Downs.
All arounds. Yeah. Today, we will finally be making a return to Mobile Fighter G Gundam, a personal favorite of mine that I had brought to the table many moons ago. Since the previous Gundam episodes, we've sailed with pirates, we've battled alongside Ryoko Matoi, seen some very different takes on witchcraft, and we've watched an election while downing Tums like we're snorting lines here. But yeah, it's been a long time. It probably hasn't been that long, but it is, you know, it's felt like an eternity. So before we begin and we get into that, do we have any anime, life, video game, etc. news to discuss?
Well, my life is a private affair, Dan. You know, I'll get that that little glimpse off camera to you and you alone. But it's been a bad week for me. I'm in a rough spot, but I'm glad and fortunate, as always, that we have this podcast to discuss with one another, just to air out the room, you know, and the grievances of sort. I don't have a lot of anime, if anything at all, because I was kind of, as we all are, invested in the election, and I really couldn't find myself to do anything to detox in between, despite, I don't even remember what, oh, we watched What We Do in the Shadows this week, so that was literally the only thing that I barely remembered to try and take my mind off the election, as I'm sure we're all there. Great vampire film. Besides that, I think there was a Pokemon short that I did not get to see yet.
I actually didn't watch that yet either, so we will have to get on that before next time.
And there was one interesting game, not a PS5, even though there might be shipping this week, maybe next week, depending on when it's late. Walmart still hasn't sent me anything, but I checked the confirmation email, and it's still confirmed. So.
Well, I've been anxiously doing that, too, and it's smooth sailing so far.
There is one game, mobile game coming to the Switch, that piqued my interest. It is called Seven Nights Time Wanderer, and if I had to describe it, I've never heard of it. I think it's big in Japan. It's interesting that they're putting a mobile game on the Switch in the first part, but it's it's basically like a Madoka Magoka plot with like times and different dimensions and these seven warriors going to different lands. It just looks interesting. Maybe if there's a discount, I'll pick it up. And something that brought me joy is a friend and fellow, you know, anime lover in our hearts, John Caffiero, finally purchased Hades. So I'm happy for him.
I'm
happy for him.
Good. Well, you're spreading the good word of that game to as many folks as you can.
I think I'm going to need it this week. I'm going to need to pick up Hades yet again. But that's all I have, Dan. I'm sorry. My well is very dry this week.
Well, no. It's been a very... I think very few among us have been able to focus on much else besides the election. You know, I mean, I figured it would be an interesting note to, you know, we're not sure what the demographics of this podcast are, like how many international listeners we get or anything like that, but I think even around the world, people have been stressed watching this unfold.
And I should, like, you know, we should all be happy, obviously, it's like everything else going on in my life and like all the stuff, it's like I can barely quell an emotion other than sadness or, you know, avoid. That's basically what I feel lately.
But it's, you know, there are always stretches like that, and it's, you know, especially after this year, no one is going to fault anyone for feeling those feelings, especially extra hard this time of year because we're losing sunlight earlier. Everything feels less alive to begin with in the winter. You know, but if, you know, one of the reasons I was going back and forth as to when we should resume G Gundam was because there's not going to be as much to unpack as with Suspiria. But it is a good casual listen. I know that during this stretch, what's gotten me through some rough days is just listening to people talk about shit that they're interested in. And if you are using this podcast in such a capacity, then you might not mind if we just, you know, shoot the shit about G Gundam for a little bit. But in other news, we did want to just acknowledge that Alec Trebek passed away. Not uplifting news, but a lot of us grew up watching him on Jeopardy. And this is the second week in a row we've had to do one of these, but the hits keep coming. But,
why not Giuliani? Why couldn't you take Giuliani instead?
Well, his downfall will be more karmic, I hope. I don't, you know, I don't necessarily want him to go. I want something embarrassing to happen. Or more embarrassing, you know, to be the cherry on top of that. Ghoul Sunday there.
But it's very sad, you know, Jeopardy. Obviously, Alex, one of the best game show hosts of all time.
Yeah.
Always a welcoming presence, very smart, very, just, you know, personable with his appearances on other shows, too. I know he's, like, made an appearance on Drag Race, because RuPaul's a big fan of Jeopardy. It's just, you know, it's nice to see him, a genuine person, actually be genuine and fight to the end, you know, and be a positive force throughout the whole thing. That's something we can all aspire to be, especially in our darker times. And, you know, don't meet your celebrities, but he's definitely one that I would have wanted to, you know, meet and...
Yeah, without
a
doubt.
Just chill with. He seems like a very personable person.
Yeah. I mean, again, this week has been... A shit show across the board. The only tangentially anime manga thing is just that I haven't mentioned One Piece in a few weeks. The Wano arc is still ongoing.
For the 30th year in a row.
but on that note, if you were put off of One Piece in recent years, maybe after the Dressrosa arc, which... The discussion around it is that it kind of overstayed its welcome to a not too climactic end. I would certainly recommend maybe once this Wano arc is put all into volumes and you can read it in one go, I would sincerely recommend it because it's not hitting the low points that Dressrosa hit with its length. This feels like a story arc that Oda very, very much wanted to do, and... It shows in, like, every chapter. There's no lulls in the action. It's just everything is serving a purpose. So I would think that once it's all, you know, said and done, it's all put together in the volumes, maybe read through it because it might be a One Piece adventure that can get you back into the game because it's, you know, it has not disappointed yet.
So you would suggest reading it as One Piece?
Sorry, stop the count.
Yes, that's the best I can muster this week. I apologize.
But I don't believe anything else was... I think we've gotten previews for Evangelion, the new movie coming out.
Yes.
I think there was a new... The new Godzilla anime trailer. Like, it dropped a teaser at some point. Obviously...
There was a Beastars Season 2 trailer. It's coming soon, I think early next year. So that's exciting. And then Beastar recently ended the manga, so it's a short-lived manga. But I think it'll be successful. I haven't looked into it. I've been kind of reading as the manga volumes are coming out, so I'm basically caught up with season two-ish, like the beginning of what they're going to cover, and I think it's good so far.
Yep.
That's all I got. Scraping the bottom, Dan.
Do you have any
a tangent? I had two. Both of them were kind of meh, so if one's not long enough, I guess we could do both. They're not related in any way, shape, or form. One is anime adjacent, and one is like, oh boy, like, what question could I ask Dan that we'd both be interested in? So you can have the anime adjacent one first, or the Mystery Mouse Cthulhu one first, Dan. Which do you choose?
Let's do the anime adjacent one first.
Okay, the anime adjacent one, I don't know if we asked this on the podcast already. I don't keep track of our questions in a master Excel sheet. I do not have the time or the patience to do so. But Dan, Mr. Dan Ryan, what draws you to specific anime? What's the main draw of an anime for you? What's something that you could see immediately in a commercial, in a manga, whatever, and be hooked and say, I think this series is one for me?
I would say kind of the character designs, the action, color, and music are the things that, because the most recent thing that I can think of offhand is, before you passed a copy along to me, Promare caught my interest because the previews I would see would be very jazzy, high energy. Every character looked stellar, and you know, watching the final movie itself, all of those things pay off. So I would say it's if it has like that visual action pop in its previews, that will be enough to lure me in.
I would also say visuals too. Like I hate to be like a sucker for money, but if it's a higher budget thing, then I'm kind of more inclined to watch it just from all the money and resources going into it. Yeah. So we look at like Evangelion and how they've changed up the game with some of their animations and redoing certain things, and that big booty box set coming at us real soon.
Oh yeah.
That I'm excited for. So I would say budget first, and of course character design. If the characters don't gel with me, or if they all look too similar, then it's immediately like, who are you? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
You're not the anime that I love. But I love a good camp comedy. I would like to say that like animes that make you think, but it's been a long time, and I kind of stick with my true blues that make me think. But I do like when anime subverts the expectations and it's a little bit more intelligent than the the regular masses. So I would say that. In recent memory, but I mean, I go back to like our quirky favorites. Like recently I've been rewatching Code Lyoko and enjoying it for the most part. I did not realize that that show is basically 300 episodes long, so it's going to be a while to trek through, but I need to do it. I think I need to do it for my mind, body, and soul. I need to travel back there just in time for us to reintroduce that on the podcast, because that was a fan favorite for an odd reason. It was never good voice acting. It was never a solid animation, but it had heart.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Yeah, it set out to do something and it did it. And it, you know, you go in, it just, you know, you're right. It's, we're going to have to unpack that show someday and why
maybe
all of
those.
Maybe
we could have like a Fox Box / Toonami return to the favorites.
Well, yeah, because that was like the twilight of, because I think that was the point where Toonami stopped and then that other block replaced it. It was like the undersea, it was like the undersea monsters and like a Sea Lab thing that was used as the bumpers. I don't remember. I think it was Magoobi or something. And then that was...
No Gooby.
And then it finished airing on that block. So I don't...
Yeah.
It was a weird transition point, but it was always entertaining.
So we have to return. Well, that's first tangent done. Should we do this other one that was scraped the bottom of the barrel? I'm warning you now.
I don't know. We're chilling today. Okay. Today's a casual day. So.
Okay, casual day. Well, what are my pants doing on still? Zip. We both like D&D, we would say. You run a campaign on the side.
Yeah.
I enjoy a D&D podcast or two. If I had the time, the resources, the friends, and the gumption, I would join yours. But I'm still planning something. I want to plan something in future. I'm into D&D. So Dan, without further ado, the question I'm going to ask is, if you are not the DM, the Dungeon Master, the Dark Wizard, as some may say, what class are you playing in D&D? What's your favorite go-to class?
Well, when the time came to create characters and stuff, my default was, of course, a fighter. He is a...
Very Dan.
He is a Dark Souls-ish looking green knight named Sir Gamut. A pun on Bergamot oranges, and his sigil reflects that, and he's got a big-ass Veyhander sword that he uses. And yeah, kind of. He's not, in terms of stat spread or character, like the brute of the group, but he. I Warrior is what I default to. Because
the Knight of Orange. Yes.
Yeah. Well, green oranges, yeah.
Green oranges, Dan.
It was a thing.
Knight of the Spoiled Orange.
I Googled my ass off to come up with, like, a name pun for him, so, yeah. What would yours be?
I'm a magical sword. I would have to rely on either wizard, sorcerer, or warlock, but lately I've been in a dark mood, so warlocks have taken my heart because of their patrons and stuff. You know, selling your soul in order to work for a higher deity to grant power seems up my mindset now. So, how vastly opposed we are, Dan. You, a warrior of light, and me, a warrior of darkness.
Well, it all comes down to, you know, if you get a good enough mix in there, you can really create some interesting stories with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wizards with the patrons and things like that. Like, that all is stuff that can be used to create plot threads for sessions and stuff as you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And you are welcome to join.
No, I know. I just don't want to jump in, Dan. I don't want to cause a scene, stir.
Like, I do recommend that to people who would like a, you know, might need something to do in these trying times, because between this podcast and when I get the DM sessions for my friends, I've been able to write, like, a little, you know, storyline. I've been able to design some, I showed, like, the Dark Pilgrimage characters I've shown you.
The Dark Wizards.
Yeah. The themes that we love ring true in that presentation, but it's an excellent creative outlet that isn't as, you know, I don't want to say as like difficult as other creative outlets, but you can kind of approach it like almost like you're designing a video game. Mm-hmm. So the pressure of maybe like writing a story or a manuscript isn't there, but you can create characters for, you know, you can do a whole bunch of world building without the stress factors that come along with, you know, the big scale version of that.
Yeah, and it's an outlet.
I love it. So. Yeah.
Love a good outlet. Good positive outlet for the children and adults alike.
Yeah.
Well, you've survived both of my challenges. You've solved my tangent puzzle, Dan. Should we begin?
We're going to chill. Like, we're going to, again, I always, with the episodes and shows, movies, whatever, that I bring to this podcast, I'm always, very nervous that they will go over well. I second guess my choices sometimes, and in terms of resuming Gundam, I'm like, okay, am I going to bring this to the table? Maybe it doesn't have, like, the wow factor as other stuff we've watched.
Mm-hmm.
Are people going to be bored by this?
Well, I've had a fun time with Gundam. It's tropey enough to keep my attention.
And that's, you know, I picked it for a reason, and, like, again, throughout this whole stretch, I think a lot of people have been falling back on like, internet content that is literally just people just talking without a filter about
something
stuff
they
love. Yeah. So G Gundam certainly falls into that. So if you listeners out there are still into this and you need a break from
the world,
everything, then we will happily provide that as best we can.
Elmo starts singing Cruel Angel Thesis.
I've had that stuck in my head since you fucking sent me that thing, and I, like,
it's so good.
Elmo
loves to sing in Japanese! Look it up, fans. It's a fun time.
I'm making my dog's breakfast, and I'm like, da 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 da, you know, and it's just, there's no,
we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Soon.
Well, I wouldn't guarantee soon, but...
Well, obviously, I mean, people, if people have, like, we are, again, physical media shills, so maybe when that big bonanza box...
When Dan and I
box
split it, and then have a Solomon where we have to cut it in half or else kill the Blu-rays.
Get shared custody of the, you know, the Shinji statue that comes...
King Solomon, Dan has stolen my child. Well, then cut it in half. He could have it then. Yeah.
Only the Blu-ray's true owner would want it to be safe.
Oh, God. But we will. That's a given,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, of course.
But in the meantime, we are binning the Halloween decorations that we had put on the drawing board.
Into the trash.
You know, and he has been redecorated with some cyberpunk theming, because once again...
Oh, that's a game that's coming out.
We hope.
So, maybe. I wish, like, Annie the Orphan. Maybe.
I feel like we've joked this to death in the past couple, but I don't trust that it's coming out in December, because the day they announced that change, they did some kind of interview with one of the developers, and they're like,
"There is no
we're confident in December 10th, but not comfortable." I'm like, so, whatever that means
better
is
better
like,
live up to the hype, that's all I'm saying.
You know, I don't think that it's anything.
One last disappointment in 2020.
But I don't know if it's anything, you know, systemically tragic with the game. Mm. It, from the sound of it, it's just like
it's a lot.
It can't run on PS4 in the older Xbox without like completely doing like an Outer Worlds on Switch type thing where all the scenery is gone and you that might just be it. It just needs more time to cook in order to get it optimized for, I guess, older consoles. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, they gotta do because people who own those consoles still paid for it like everyone else, so they gotta do it. But that's what I think the fear is that PS4 and Xbox One users will pop it in and it'll be like it'll be the Mario Xenoblade. 64
all over
thing,
again.
So but yes, the drawing board is back out in repurposed cyberpunk decorations. And he is once again Future Century Edition.
I remember.
So there's not a whole lot of trivia left to cover about G Gundam, but again, as it has been over half a year since our last G Gundam episode,
It has.
Yeah. It was pre-summer. It was like June or July, I think. So I'm just going to take some time to kind of recount what the deal is with this series, what's happened in the plot so far. So Mobile Fighter G Gundam focuses on Domon Kashu, who is the mobile fighter Gundam pilot for Neo Japan, because in this future century timeline, the bougie folks on Earth have long since abandoned the planet to live in more idyllic space colonies, which are labeled as Neo Japan, Neo Germany, Neo America, etc. And every so often, for this Gundam fight, they send the Gundam fighters down to the Earth to kind of use it as their own personal battlefield in this tournament called the Gundam Fight that decides who politically controls all of the space colonies. So everyone has a vested interest in winning it, and even if the pilots are sometimes viewed as kind of rogue, they're viewed as like a combination of almost like cowboys and celebrity sports stars, because the people on Earth rightfully don't like them for what they do, and the people in the colonies seem to like tolerate having to do this system. So Domon Kashu is fighting on behalf of Neo Japan in his Burning Gundam. He is specifically fighting through the tournament because he wants to unravel the mystery of the Devil Gundam and his brother Kyoji. Kyoji had seemingly betrayed Neo Japan and had caused a series of events that resulted in the death of his mother, of their mother, and their father being placed in cryogenic prison, basically, until Kyoji is apprehended. And Kyoji's main thing is that he's in operating the Devil Gundam, which is this massive sort of chimera of a Gundam that has the ability, through technology that we haven't really heard a lot about yet, but mainly revolving around DG cells, that let it basically regenerate. We can assume it's some kind of nanotech thing, but it can it is almost like a borderline organic being, but it is evil, so
don't trust it. It is evil. Yeah.
But these DG cells have kind of made a few appearances in the tournament thus far. They can infect people, usually through, like, the Gundams and stuff, and end up putting them under mental control of the Devil Gundam. Doman found out that the man who trained him, Master Asia, the Undefeated of the East, who is now piloting the Master Gundam, had actually borderline sold his soul to the Devil Gundam and is now basically working in tandem with them. In the ensuing fight, the previous Shuffle Alliance, who were this team of undefeated Gundam fighters from the space colonies, basically gave their lives to save Doman and his friends from the Devil Gundam and the DG Cell's mind control. Pretty much making Doman had already received his Shuffle Alliance seal. He's had it since the beginning of the series, being the King of Hearts, I believe. But his buddies from America, France, Germany, and China, no, I'm sorry, Russia and China, become the new members of the Shuffle Alliance, because the card-themed denizens of that original team passed on to free them. And they managed to kind of stave off Master Asia's attack, but Doman is clearly heartbroken and messed up by this series of events, and Master Asia's like, you're no longer my student, we have no connection anymore. And the way things are working out now is that we saw that the Devil Gundam and Master Asia had basically amassed an underground factory manufacturing these Devil Gundam soldiers, who are, I believe they're called the Death Army, who are piloted by zombified people. Like, they almost like in a pod people type fashion. They kidnap any human they can find and just stick them inside these empty shells, and they serve as soldiers. And that all kind of came down to this fight in Shinjuku, and Shinjuku, and then I think it concluded at Tokyo Tower.
Yes. So this with the mayor of Tokyo, I remember.
Yeah, he was just holding the line. they were at the one building from Digimon that the Bakemon took over that time. So,
it's still standing.
Speaking of the count. But when we last left off, Doman had basically been Scooby-Dooed into a trap by Master Asia, but he was saved by Schwarzbruder, the mysterious masked man, who is actually the fighter for Neo Germany piloting the Spiegel Gundam, which seems to be a more stealth-based Gundam, you know, relies on sword fighting and stuff like that. And he gifted Doman this rusted sword, and he wants Doman to be able to cut through anything using this brittle blade that he's passed off to him, because he seems to want Doman to be able to focus not only his spirit, but also focus his anger. And in the very last episode, again, almost lured into a trap, Doman manages to free himself by accessing the Burning Gundam's super mode, which had previously been the Super Saiyan kind of glowing golden form that Doman had accessed when he was mad. But this time he was not mad. So it seems like Schwarz wants him to be able to, as with most martial arts series, needs him to be in a more tranquil state of mind in order to focus his powers and properly unlock them. And I apologize if I keep saying, it's Shining Gundam. I'm sorry. It is, Doman's is the Shining Gundam. But there were a few other details. I just want to make sure I get them in there. There might be some extra guilt in this for Doman, because in his encounter with the Devil Gundam, he almost managed to land a Shining Finger hit against Kyoji, but he obviously hesitated at the last second, hit another section, and the energy from that attack actually restored the Devil Gundam completely to life. So I would assume the angst from that is going to come into play again. And where we are now, Doman is going to be in the wilderness, training under Schwarzbruder as the Gundam fight finals in Neo Hong Kong draw ever closer. Now, we left off on episode 17. We are going to be skipping episodes 18, 19, and 20. These episodes just kind of give us a very general overlook of Doman's training, and they also give the other new Shuffle Alliance members some extra development. We kind of help them settle some personal demons. The snooty Frenchman, Georges, has to kind of come to terms with, like, a past tragedy that he believes he was at fault in, which I believe Doman and Rain help him with. And Sai Saichi, who is Neo China's fighter, also has to overcome some baggage, and he has to fight, like, an evil clone of his Gundam. And Neo Russia's pilot with the Bolt Gundam is also in there. So, and I believe there was also, if you remember Chibity Crockett, the obviously American Gundam pilot, had ducked out previously. He rejoins in episode 18, I believe, because his fangirls kind of, like, trick him into going and reconvening with Doman and the rest of the Shuffle Alliance, and he ends up staying there to train with them. So now we kind of have this group sort of on the cusp of being able to work together effectively to combat this greater evil that they're facing. And we will be resuming with episode 21, and we will be watching up to episode 24.
Four episodes.
Because this is a kind of a major transition point where we're going from the more, these little episodic arcs, and then the next half of the series will be the Gundam fight finals. So it's a lot, it's going to become a lot more, I mean, it already is an action-oriented series, but it's going to become a lot more action-oriented after this stretch. But these four episodes are kind of laying the groundwork and what's at stake and what needs to still happen before the end of the series. So, any expectations?
Well, I know I can hope to see a shining metal finger or two.
Of course.
As to where it's going. I don't tell.
No.
But I'm excited. I'm happy to see this, and I'm happy that we're laying the groundwork for a series that you enjoy. This is exactly what I needed on this dreary little Sunday. That's 70 degrees in November, but we'll worry about that another day.
Again, we can always go to the colonies if we have to.
Yes, the space colony arc. Maria. Different show? Different series? I don't know.
But we can finally have Eyepatch Man come out here and say, Gundam fight, ready, go! Welcome back, folks. We just watched four episodes of Mobile Fighter G Gundam. Specifically, in terms of this Blu-ray set that I have, we did episodes 21 to 24, which kind of end the, seemingly, the Dark Gundam arc, and then we will next time be moving into the final finals of the Gundam fight in Neo Hong Kong. I mean, not in our next podcast episode, but when we resume G Gundam, we'll finally be into that space. But these were, in themselves, very action-packed episodes, and we do got a lot to discuss. So we'll start, first of all, with episode 21. The final battle approaches only 3 days away. And just want to, like, little side notes. most of the online sources for these episodes, well, for the series in general, use the Japanese names, mm-hmm. Which all, you know, match pretty well, but I kind of forgot that the dub changed a lot of them.
It's okay, we call them.
Yeah, like,
they're
like,
not
so
too complicated.
Yeah, so in this batch of episodes, we're going to be, for instance, introduced to the Burning Gundam, mm-hmm. But in Japanese, that was the God Gundam. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the Devil Gundam, who became the Dirk Gundam when this was dubbed here, because again, it was the 90s, you couldn't, I don't know, you couldn't say God and Devil,
no.
your angle or your demon, it had to be, you know.
Not unless it's the best Gundam.
Yeah, it couldn't be, like, the Death Army, it had to be the Duke Army, so mm-hmm. it was little dubs like that. But yeah. Also, Schwarzbruder's Gundam, which in Japan was the Spiegel Gundam, mm-hmm. Became the Shadow Gundam in the English dub. Mm-hmm. And there's a few other examples, I think, as we go through the international Gundams, mm-hmm. That we'll keep seeing of that.
Mm-hmm. Immediately, I was like, this is going to be a race to the finish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they're like, it's 3 days away. But Dan didn't tell me he would arrive on time.
Is the show going to end right here?
He kept me biting my nails until the last episode we saw.
But again, you know, the finals are approaching. They're mm-hmm. only 3 days away, and we get a little montage of several countries sending.
We need to talk, Dan. Hold yeah. up. Hold your horses, or should I say, hold the horse Gundam? Some of them, fine. Grizzly Gundam, all right, whatever. Yeah,
from Canada.
Yeah, a Chariot Gundam from Greece, wonderful. Yeah,
Zeus Gundam.
But one in particular sticks in my craw. That's not a Gundam, that's a windmill.
Well, he's in disguise as a windmill when we first...
And then, I mean, I love him. I love this Gundam, but it doesn't seem competitive in any way, shape, or form to be in a windmill.
Well, no, I don't know what advantage it holds. You will see it in battle. He does get to do some things, but Holland does send Windmill Gundam... I'm pretty sure, even though we haven't seen them yet, there's a Barrel Gundam that one of the Netherlands countries send, I think.
They're just making Gundams out of everything, aren't they? We got Viking Gundam, of course.
Yeah, Viking Gundam.
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings.
I think we briefly see Africa's Gundam, but
Zebra Gundam?
Or I mean, you know, from an African name. I don't know if they...
Oh, we'll get to Guyana.
I don't know if they actually give an African country its own Gundam, or if they just do the entire continent as one. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Certainly, countries are not represented across the board. I think it was just ones that they could find, you know, yeah. stereotypes for that they could make into Gundam models.
The Meatball Gundam.
But that is...
I know.
That is, we can, you know... what would be your Gundam in the Gundam fight?
Well, I already discussed multiple Gundams. Firstly, the one that I feel... Well, maybe I should end with this one. No, this is it. It'd be the Snagglepuss Gundam, because there's nothing else that I would rather do than say heavens to Murgatroyd, exit stage left whenever a fight occurs. Yeah, that, I mean, I was tossing around Marge Simpson Gundam.
Oh, me.
But Snagglepuss Gundam would have to be my Gundam.
Yeah, no, you could, you know... It's you could have a Broadway curtain call theme. It'll have a cape, maybe
a top hat that's also a beam cannon for no reason. And what about you, Dad? What would your Gundam be? Samurai Gundam, Shogun Gundam?
I don't know. I mean, Kaiju Gundam would make, but presumably I would be sent in by New Jersey. So
Kenilworth standards.
So I don't know what stereotype of New Jersey I could use for a Gundam, because. Because we have stereotypes, but other states do some of them worse than us. Mm. Like, we don't have the most smog.
The Bagel Gundam.
So it probably wouldn't be Smog Gundam. But I don't know, but people would argue, like, if New York should get Bagel Gundam. And mm. I don't know what New Jersey... I mean, Pork Roll Gundam,
Oh, no, you referred to it as Pork Roll instead of Taylor Ham.
Well, no, it is Taylor Ham, but I'm saying for our viewers outside of New Jersey, they might not know that, so the dub would make it Pork Roll Gundam. Mm. Seahorse Gundam.
Juliana Gundam.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he'll be, if we want a crazy old guy to hang on, mm-hmm. then yeah, that's one.
Yep.
I don't
so
know.
So many
though.
Choices.
Yeah. But they're all coming out. They're all, you know, converging on Neo Hong Kong, where the finals are going to be held.
Yes.
Meanwhile, and another thing that we need to establish is that the area that they're in is called the Guyana Highlands, mm-hmm. but in every wiki and every Gundam source book, it's not spelled like Guyana. It's spelled with a Y. And it's only they only ever say Guyana Highlands, yeah. So it gives them enough of like I guess a break that they don't have to pretend it's like a like a real place.
I was just saying that the real Guyana has suffered enough to show the devastation of this third world country.
Well, yeah, and then by the end of these episodes, it's like the entire rainforest is on fire,
and they
so
just get up and they're like, eh, whatever, bye.
But again, I'm just like just a refresher because this was a long time ago. But when I was discussing the trivia facts for this series, right when we started it, they do for this stretch they switched to kind of a all-purpose rainforest setting because the animators were kind of stressed out by drawing real-world locations because the first we had a whole stretch in the beginning where they would go to real world countries and see real world like monuments and everything, and for the sake of these action oriented episodes, the animators wanted just like a general anime jungle backdrop so that they didn't have to worry about drawing the buildings or anything like that. They could just kind of
stick to... We saw how well it worked with Mayor of Japan.
And they so they wanted like a very in this. As the fight unfolds, it kind of does call to mind the Dragon Ball nameless forest
plateau
canyon.
Area, yeah.
So there's there's rocks and caves and trees and all that scenery there. But yeah, the whole rainforest is fucked.
Because of this Gundam battle.
While everyone is advancing to the finals, Doman and the rest of the members of the newly christened Shuffle Alliance are still training in the Guyana Highlands. They all have, they give, flimsy reasons for why they're still hanging out there, to be keeping an eye on their rivals, just, they don't seem to be training together as much as they're hanging out in the vicinity of each other to train.
Yeah, crushing on Doman.
Yeah, so there is, we can clearly tell that a bromance is developing, but they're not admitting to it yet. Mm-hmm. Well, even if they like it or not, they're in this as an alliance now. They are bound by...
The stupid shuffle cards on their hands.
And Doman specifically has been missing for at least 2 weeks. He promptly, told Rain that he was going out to be alone to get his thoughts together. And now each of the Shuffle Alliance members have been feeling pain coming through their shuffle crests because, and it's not like a... physical pain or fear.
Some shuffle tunnel, yeah.
Yeah, it's more like, it's wanker's cramp. But it's more like they're kind of sharing in the stress that Doman is feeling.
Yeah.
Because when we do see Doman, he is training in a cave, and he's attempting to figure out, not only in the last episode we saw, but in some of the episodes we skipped, he had managed to tap into super mode without being enraged.
Yeah.
And obviously... to any observant anime viewer, it's friendship that's kicking this in. But he doesn't, he's too much of, Doman is still kind of a douche at this point.
He's an angry boy.
So.
Oh my gosh, the way he treats poor Rain in an episode coming out. I mean, there was a cute interaction that we skipped over that I want to just mention. It's between Rain and Jean, or whatever.
George.
It's the,
from France.
Yeah. I'm clearly from France by my accent.
DiGiorno.
She does suggest, it's not normal for them to peek at Gundams while it's under repair from different countries.
Yeah.
So, I was just like, ooh, world building. I like this. And they're all there. We're buddies. We're waiting for Doman, clearly. We're not going to leave our man behind, which is cute.
And that was, in one of the episodes we skipped, that was actually a plot point because Chibity kind of shows up under the pretense of he's going to try to, steal information while the Shining Gundam is being fixed. But then his gal pals get into trouble and he needs to work together with everyone to save them. So Doman is in a cave. He's being taunted by visions of Master Asia.
Just like,
failure, stupid Irish, all the
Kenneth,
all the voices, as the rocks in this cave.
Mm-hmm. And a mysterious masked man.
Well, yeah. Schwarzbruder is still in there.
Still masked.
And he kind of goads Doman into a fight, and... You know, Schwarz is piloting his Gundam, but Doman is just kind of left to fend for himself with this sword that Schwarz had given him in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Just the clear size, like, of this small cave housing this giant Gundam.
Well, it's like the Godzilla King Caesar.
I know, like a cat.
They fill the space that they.
I don't mean to nitpick. It's just something that stood out to me. Like, this cave would clearly collapse. And
I snuck in here with.
There's plenty of sneaking going on in these giant metal mechs.
So you know they fight, and Doman is like. He kind of has this moment where he thinks he's about to die, and he kind of comes to, like, a very serene state of mind thinking about Rain and his family and his friends, and he manages to block the Shadow Gundam Slash, you know, just using this sword. So it seems that the key to his power, as Schwarz kind of emphasizes, is that he needs to be at peace. He can't let his rage get out of control, because that will lead to his defeat. You know, while this training is concluding, they are ambushed by Master Asia and Death Army soldiers.
And a countless number of Death Army soldiers.
Yeah, they got a shitload.
Yeah.
By air, land, and sea.
Dolphins, mysterious flying ones, and normal Zaku models.
Yeah, and you gotta think, like, what influences... You know, what was influencing one... Like, because the flying ones look a lot like the Type Zero... no, not the Type Zero. The flying Evas.
They do. Yeah.
Like they.
I mean, they look a little like them. They're both flying, but I could see some
like there's like they have like a vague
and they
bird.
Have the detachable things. Yeah. Too.
I mean, I'm not saying. Yeah. I'm just saying that there's design. I don't know the exact time frame here, but there's a lot of tropes being. Shared and used throughout this time period. We're gonna see a few more later. But yeah, some of them are birds. Some of them are like dolphin Gundams with tridents. And then you got the standard land boys as well as snakes. You got the big
big snake.
Big like long necked snake Gundams that are rising up out of the ground.
Yeah. Which they kind of do things, but at the same time, they're just there for a menacing presence, I guess. They can, like, blow things up, but we only see that once.
They have laser vision.
Can we talk about Natasha's and what's-his-name's relationship, though?
Yeah.
What's the guy? Boris? What's his name?
Argo.
Argo. Thinking of Bullwinkle. But Natasha and Argo, I can tell that the internet has shipped them.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm into it, because there's this whole, like, prisoner warden thing they have going on, like... Argo wants to stay and wait for Doman, and then Natasha's like, we can get out of here, but,
I mean, we skipped Argo's intro episode back in the day, but he is a prisoner in Neo-Russia, and he's fighting for his freedom in order to, you know, and so, unlike with the other Pit Crew characters, Natasha stays with him because she's got to watch him.
Yeah, no, I thought that was an interesting dynamic going on.
Yeah, they
I'll be doing a search on it later.
With her little like bullwhip thing that she has, so.
Her riding crop.
Oh, riding crop, I'm sorry.
Ugh. I'll have to teach you, Dad.
They're fighting in this cave, and Rain kind of gets the signal that Doman is trying to summon the Shining Gundam to his side. Even if the Gundam can't reach him automatically, she begins piloting the Shining Gundam to him, while the other Shuffle Alliance members are kind of fighting to keep the Death Army at bay.
Yeah.
Because they're coming from all sides, but Chibidi, George, and Argo all kind of step up to escort Rain. And Sai, of course. Saichi.
Yeah.
And
Chibidi, boxing gloves, too. They just give the American everything. Yeah. They can give guns, boxing gloves, later a surfboard.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Gundam Maxter, who
is
has...
He's gonna get a cheeseburger and type 2 diabetes next, Ed?
You know, he's got guns, surfing... he's got, like, a football helmet.
Oh, my God.
And boxing gloves, and everything is covered. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just, like, the whole time, he's got the little... the little like twig in his mouth, yeah. and he's like, "There, I don't like this." Yeehaw.
But Rain does arrive somewhere, and she mistakes a silhouette to be Domin, when in turn it's Master Asia. Clearly, Master Asia. Yeah. Domin always loves to wear a robe and a headscarf. And Master Asia then proceeds to like beat the shit out of Rain.
Yeah.
And this causes Domin and Schwartz to arrive and assist in the fight.
Yeah. Domin, he finally manages to like board the Shining Gundam. But you know, Rain is in pretty bad shape mm-hmm. at this point. And he challenges Master Asia directly to a fight.
Yeah.
Schwartz, trying to be sensible, is like, don't take the bait, do not fight him.
Don't get mad.
Because this is part of his plan, yeah. like, you gotta calm down. But, you know, with kind of the entire Shuffle Alliance and Schwartz watching, Domin goes and launches a Shining Finger against Master Asia's Dark Finger. and they collide in midair.
And the episode ends.
So then we come to episode 22, Breakthrough, Warriors Strong Tides.
Mm.
Ties, I'm sorry. You know, so they're being attacked by these, you know, on all sides, by these Gundam heads and the other Death Army members. And we kind of resume with the locked fists from the last episode. Mm-hmm. But Domin is knocked back and his arm is kind of injured. Yep. So if there was a winner in that standoff, it is Master Asia.
Mm-hmm. The undefeated Master of the East.
As he will remind you.
And many Domin, times.
Yeah.
It's stuck in my craw, Dan. This would annoy me. This old man went from cool to annoying to me in a matter of episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, it's intriguing. There's something there, but...
Yeah.
They're not gonna give me all the cookies at once.
Well, no,
they're
you
gonna
gotta...
dole them out.
The jar yeah, is staying yeah. tight, so...
You're gonna put that cookie jar on a high shelf, so I have to work for it, aren't you?
Since they're basically outnumbered, the Shuffle Alliance kind of fall back, and they kind of decide to fight the Death Army in order to give Rain and Domin time to fix the Shining Gundam. So they, you know, set up these landmines. Schwartz, in particular, goes out of his way to set up this little flare mine, which will come in handy later. And, you know, they kind of try as best they can to make up a strategy to... keep Domin and Rain safe in this sort of river basin area.
Yeah, and Natasha's, like, going through all the plans. I just like Natasha's character. I like yeah. her design. I like her attitude. I like her relationship with Argo.
Argo. Like, Argo, fuck yourself. Yeah. Like that, yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. And she initially has this plan where I another little piece of world building that I like is she's like, oh, well, we could escape if we go this high, but we can only bring the Russian Gundam with us. Yeah. And everyone's like, hold up, wait a second. And she's like, well, I wouldn't want it to, like, you know, go against these brothers in arms here.
Yeah.
So she does change her tune, but I was thinking of the modern day political system where it'd be like, bye.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Because, yeah, the their big airship only has room for the Bolt Gundam
but
to ride.
But can't these Gundams,
ride.
Like, fly? Not that high, though, apparently.
They can, but they're just using, like...
I'm sure they're going to be in space. I'm sure they're going to go into space,
well,
Dan.
What does the opening implies that they're...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Well, they do go to space, so it's they've been in space once or twice,
all right.
I think.
Just shoehorning away for us to stay here, and there's only half a day left?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they're fixing up Shining Gundam, but Rain is running a fever.
Oh, well, first, no, he's limping off to Rain. He's going, zip it.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth and put your hands to use. And I'd be like, buddy, this girl is doing everything for you.
Again, Domin is still kind of a douche.
I mean, it's like sarcastic douche. You can't really tell because the voice acting is very monotone. But,
yeah.
Like, it's in the way of the character, but... There's clearly a relationship here. Rain's giving everything. She has the anime slow fall. Like, woo!
And yeah, then Domin Sonic, like, yeah. grabs her.
Yeah. And, but, I mean, their relationship's fine. Like, I like it. I enjoy it. But Domin is a bit of an asshole to her.
Well, it's going to pay off. Yeah. Like, I can assure you that if you ship these two, mm-hmm. you keep watching. Because it goes places. But, I mean, there are a lot of moments in these early episodes where... I mean, especially as we're watching, like, the dubbed version, they have to repeat things and retread character development a lot, which is, you know, if that grates on you, then I don't know if it would affect your enjoyment, but it's the same thing, like, older anime.
It's with, like, every anime, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, things that we enjoy from childhood, like, I mean, that's why we're not watching every episode, I assume. Because we're cutting to, like, the nitty-gritty, you know, the plot advancement stuff.
But, you know, if that does grate on you, it's, I mean, it's the same thing as, like, Saint Seiya, where every episode they have to restate, like, I'm angry at you,
like,
and then...
it's like Dragon Ball Z. It's like, we're in the middle of this fight for 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Let's watch on.
But if you, you know... find it charming as we do, then certainly give it a peek.
Yeah.
You know, Rain kind of insists that she can keep working. I think she does faint later, after the battle starts.
She has a fever.
And Doman kind of softens up and he's like, you know, like, I'll do my best to fix the Gundam while you talk me through it. That way it's both of us working on
it. And a task that would take them half a day is completed in 5 minutes.
Well, because it's like Star Wars repairs. Like, this is what separates G Gundam from kind of, like, the hard sci-fi of the older Gundam shows, is that, like, this kind of stuff wouldn't have flown in another Gundam series. Like, if there's catastrophic damage done to a Gundam in one of the older shows, it's kind of like a spacecraft, as Grant will attest. It's if anything is wrong, it's like a catastrophic failure, and you have to spend weeks repairing it to get it back in working order. But in this show, that's not the point, so they can do Star Wars, like, hand me that blah 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 wrench, and then 10 minutes later they have, you know, the electro connectors aren't connecting. Quick, reverse the polarity, and then it'll run again. And again, it should not be understated that when this was premiering, a lot of these elements made it controversial. Like, some people up until that point liked Gundam because of the heavy technological leaning, because these older super robot series had been straight up, you know, the robots can heal their own boo-boos pretty much.
Yeah.
And Gundam had turned it into a more industrialized, like, this is a complex
thing. Until later on in the episodes that we watch.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna heal my...
yeah, well, I mean, it's all for dramatic effect, and the stuff that the cookie jars that the Devil Gundam has its hands in seem to get those abilities. But even then, it's like a goober cell regeneration.
Yeah.
Like, I just gotta focus and
burn. And I'm good.
Yeah.
But Rain does say to Doman, like, even when this is over, let me stay with you.
Yeah.
No matter where you go. So, how cute.
Yeah, and we, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a soft moment before the action hits, and these Gundam pilots are all around standing in a circle. They planted their minds, and somehow Master Asia and his dark army manages to sneak up on them.
Yeah.
And not overtake them, but puts up a decent front. You know, it's 5 versus 10 million, however many there are.
There's a lot of blips on that map.
Neo-Russia is... I don't know why I wrote Neo-Russia, but I think, like, the Russian one does something at this point.
Well, there's a moment where
where they're in the headquarters thing.
And one of the Russian, like, lower-ranking guys is like, maybe...
one of the sensible people is like, maybe we should get out of here.
And then Natasha's like, we're not, you know, we're not, like, the legacy or the honor of all of our countries are at stake here. We need to, we're not going to abandon allies. Again...
Yeah.
Refreshing political situations.
I think maybe our political candidates need to watch a little bit more anime, don't you think? Be able to forgive and forget.
They don't want to hear it.
We also get the Vienna Boys Choir in the background.
Yeah, and I tried to look this up, and I don't know. I would assume that maybe this is an older Gundam song, but it's very much like a bros battle march, like da 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 da, like type thing, as they're
giving me Godzilla vibes.
Fighting, there's a lot of, well, even when Devil Gundam Big Boy emerges, we get like the kaiju clarinet note where it's like doo 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 doo, and then,
or it's an oboe, I can't tell. I have a bad ear, Dan.
The Squidward's the clarinet, right? Yeah. It's closer to that.
Oboe's very similar, very haunting, but. This isn't a music podcast.
So, you know, they're fighting in this kind of drawn-out battle. Like, Master Asia kind of senses that they have a strat going.
Yeah, and decides to jump in.
Well, as it was predicted, he starts fording the river, or forging the river with the Master Gundam.
With his Oregon trail mates.
Yeah, and he sees that the flare mine that Schwarz had planted there, and he's like, I'm gonna punch it! And then he does.
I knew you would do this, you've activated my trap card.
Yeah, and
Yugi boy!
And Schwarz kind of uses his Gundam to destroy... like the waterfall, the waterfall in the wall of this river basin, and it sends a huge torrent of water, which like wipes out most of the Death Army.
To which I said, Den, they clearly had aquatic Gundams there.
Well, Argo was Bane breaking them.
Yeah,
before we
saw one.
Yeah,
out of the millions, but sure,
right, you know.
Yeah, he got them all.
I mean, they can swim, but even if you're a fish, you can get swept away.
You can drown.
You know, well, no, but you can you know get knocked. If you get knocked into rocks, it doesn't matter how much you can swim. So,
good science there, Dan. Yeah. The next Dr. Fauci in the room.
I don't know much, but I know. Rocks hurt. So.
Sound judgment, Dan.
So, you know, the Shuffle Alliance is kind of like they kind of think the battle has been won. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Neo-Russia takes Rain into their care and transports her to Neo-Hong Kong. The rest of the bros kind of say, you know, we'll see
Escape.
You there.
Yep.
Yeah. But Doman angstily stays behind because he senses that something is amiss. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, you know, Master Asia and the Master Gundam emerge from the river.
Yeah.
And they, you know, once again, him and Master Asia, seemingly are initiating a battle, and the Devil Gundam emerges on the surrounding landscape.
He's just always under the ground, just ready to pop up, moment's notice.
It's like the demons below.
Perhaps. As above, so below. But episode 23, we made it.
Destined battle. Doman versus Devil Gundam. So the other member of the Shuffle Alliance...
No, hold up. We start with this whole space committee that I love so much. The stupid space colony arc is like, what's going on down there? Boop, boop, boop. Dipping in. Yeah. We've got like tuxedo mask, tuxedo half mask there. We've got fucking Giuliani, who's like the old hunched over man. We've got Ray's dad. And they're like, what do we do? Something's going on.
Yeah, we're getting huge energy readings out of,
And I like how they start the episode. They're like, we're gonna have to do something in Guyana, the island of Guyana. Down there, we're gonna send down the burning Gundam.
Yeah, and
what have they been holding this burning Gundam for?
They said for the finals.
But what does that mean? Is it a prize? Is it someone's gonna fight the burning Gundam?
No, I think that in terms of they were going like had the spooky Devil Gundam shit not gotten out of hand, they would have given it to him right before the finals, and then. Presumably, it would have been like, oh, Neo Japan has this big new shiny Gundam for the finals, and it would have been like a...
replacement for his old Gundam.
Yeah, it would have been a flex.
That makes better sense to me. I didn't know this was solely Japan and the space colony arc above us.
But... No, the people we see in space are just Neo Japan. Okay. Like, we see the other Neo colonies, but I don't think we visit any of them.
All right, that makes more sense to me.
Because in some of the establishing shots, you know, you can see it's literally a giant space station in the shape of Japan, and then like Neo Egypt has like the pyramid, like it has pyramids on its space station. Oh my God. they're all like that.
They're all culturally insensitive.
but the bridge that we're seeing is just Neo Japan.
Yeah.
I would assume that burning/god Gundam would have just been, they would have unveiled it as a flex before the final started.
Okay. All right.
But they're like, oh, we can't unveil that. Oh, it's, you know, the PS5.
we don't have the publicity.
We can't send Cyberpunk in now. Yeah,
it's not done yet. But they will it anyway, and it happens. And then our episode continues proper in the midst of Master Asia and Doman dueling.
Yeah, so they're fighting again.
You may say Master Asia has the upper hand.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I think, what sets off the Burning Gundam thing, too, is that they detect that Shining Gundam clearly doesn't have enough power as it is to fight Master Asia, let alone the Devil Gundam.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, so Rain contacts them, and he, you know, and she's like, Doman's still stuck in the Guyana Highlands, and then that initiates sending the God Gundam down, because, again, like you said, there's, like, this little bureaucracy, you know,
You know, and they're in Neo-Hong Kong, where we meet Panic Sanic.
Yeah.
Different brands, just people celebrating these Gundams come to wreck their country, even though they have a Gundam tournament, like, building.
Oh, yeah, no, they have like, a world tournament.
But, you know, maybe read the room a little bit more, Neo-Hong Kong, where the world is so... Guyana's been destroyed, currently.
But I think it is... I think it was established in the lore, I think, that Neo-Hong Kong is the only one to not go into space. So all of their resources are in Hong Kong still.
But still, like... That leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't know if I would be pro Gundam if this existed in our real world.
Well, certainly not, but yeah. I, you know...
Unless I had my own Snagglepuss Gundam to snuggle up in.
Because it's like one of those things where, like, Jurassic Park, like, would people be stupid enough to do this in real... Like, yes, they would do this in real,
right.
You know,
you're
so...
Right. And people would go see, and then we'd get the poor secretary lady getting eaten three times in that poor movie.
Yeah.
She was just trying to plan a wedding, Dan.
Yeah,
that's all. She didn't have to die so brutally.
Well, I don't know if it was in the news, but Jurassic World Dominion finished filming after like 2 years and 40,000 COVID, you know, reports.
Well,
so.
We'll get to that series eventually. That's a series close to Dan, and I've seen most of them. So.
Oh, yeah. But either way, the point being that in the name of money, people
will do anything. Yeah.
So Gundam fights are not completely out of the question. You know, so they are, Master Asia and Doman are fighting. Master Asia is goading Doman into just getting
get
angrier.
Me get me!
Give
me.
In to your hate! Literally. And I think, like, Schwarz briefly checks out because he's like, you know, if you're just gonna do this and go on a rampage, then there's no point in my advice.
Yeah, I can't stop you. But he's the sensible voice in the room, the adult in the room, somebody saying. He's like, clearly don't do this, you're playing right into their hands.
Yeah.
But I'm so mad!
Yeah. I'm gonna unleash my rage.
I'm so mad!
And, you know, they're fighting, and Doman kind of, you know... Again, it's as gooberish as it is, it's a very cool scene, because Doman kind of goes into this hyper-stylized, almost like demonic look
the
inside.
The animation, I was like, ooh, this is good.
The animation with how these snakehead things and the vines of...
the blue spaghettis.
Yeah, the Devil Gundam are, like, wrapping around him. And the music, even, it kicks in this very quiet, like, haunting little tune that goes on in the background while Doman's is just slicing senselessly through these snake Gundam things.
Yes.
And Master Age is like, yes! Given, you know, so this is according to plan. But, you know, with Doman's fumbling... Master Asia almost gets a hit in, but Schwarz comes and basically takes the hit for him. He basically, you know, the Gundam gets impaled, and because of where the cockpit in the Gundam is, it injures Schwarz
right
as well.
Right in the tum-tum.
So, you know, Schwarz is kind of like, you know, you need to think back to the cave. You have to think back to what you were thinking when you entered that serene mindset. Literally, a lot of Yoda, Luke, Vader parallels in this part. The cave! Think about the cave! You know, and which I'm assuming was intentional.
You'll fix the darkest remnants of your heart and mind in there.
And, you know, they... Doman manages to attain that peaceful state, and he unlocks this full-blown true super mode, where the entire Gundam is bathed in kind of a golden armor, like Magnadramon there.
And Kyoji's there, too. Did we mention that Kyoji's there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kyo, yeah.
He was really biting my craw. I mean, I don't know if this is the real Kyoji, but he's definitely his only line in this is just laughing.
Wow. Yeah. But
what's so funny?
Everything will be explained.
Yes. Okay.
Eventually, it does get cleared up. But Kyoji is, as he always is, perched on like the Devil Gundam's shoulder, and he just
watches on
with a very vacant expression. Yeah. He just laughs maniacally whenever Domon tries to say something to him, giving us a clue that
something's amiss. Yeah.
And with true super mode, Domon easily defeats Master Asia, and then he attacks the Devil Gundam directly with the Shining Finger. He doesn't hesitate this time, and seemingly he has managed to destroy the Devil Gundam.
Yeah.
Because he kind of sends a shockwave up, it takes out the little mini Gundam head that the Devil Gundam has, and the entire thing explodes.
Yeah. And Master Asia just laying there, taking it, but keeps coming back for a beating.
But, before he can deliver said beating, Schwarz kind of pushes him off a cliff.
Just nudges him off. Schwarz, why?
And then Schwarz removes his mask, and we see that it's Kyoji.
That's what I assumed. I mean, it was vague enough. I was like, that's clearly the same person. Yeah. So, I don't know what's going on there.
It's not as clear-cut of a case of
the trope. Did they do the whole good-bad personality thing split?
No.
My lingering will has remained to pilot the Devil Gundam?
Well, you'll see. It's shades of that, but it's not nonsensical in terms of how this show is set up. But we don't see anything of Schwarz after that point. Kyoji after that point. But Master Asia is clearly, taken aback by this.
Yes. You!
So, that brings us into episode 24, Bright New Star, The Birth of the God Gundam, which is burning Gundam for us.
Well, a capsule has fallen. Too.
Yeah, yeah. The Pikmin pod.
What's in that rosebud?
The four members of the Shuffle Alliance have all reached Neo Hong Kong, as have the other international Gundams.
This fucking windmill man is traveling by windmill propulsion system.
You'll see him fight. Along. If you're rooting for Windmill Gundam, you will see him.
Am I rooting for Windmill Gundam? I'm just confused by Windmill Gundam.
But they're getting nervous because Domon still has not arrived.
And another thing, who's in charge of, showing up to this event? It's like, I set the rule that it needs to be done at this, but they've got to touch the ground right here, otherwise, no paperwork, they just have to be present.
I, as someone who's never taken part in sports, I don't know, but I would assume that if there's, an international, like the Olympics or something, that if you're AWOL on registration day and you don't register, then you're not, allowed to take part. I would assume it's...
All right.
Because I remember in Seinfeld, there was a character who overslept his Olympic event and they didn't go get him, so he just missed it. So they're not gonna... They have to keep the event going. Mm-hmm. But in this case, they got a big Gundam clock that counts down how long it is to get your entry in.
To step foot on the ground outside the stadium.
Domon sees the Neo Japan capsule coming down, he exits Shining Gundam to get to the pod, and Master Asia, still kicking out of pure pettiness, he launches, his grappling hand at Domon, but the Shining Gundam was pre-programmed to defend Domon, it jumps up, and it gets impaled on this claw, and as far as we can tell, the Shining Gundam is no longer functional at this point. Mm-hmm. And Domon kind of acknowledges it. He's like, I'm sorry, I have to sacrifice you under these circumstances. It's sad.
Ooh, new Gundam.
but he gets into the pod where the burning Gundam is being stored, but he cannot get it to activate because it hasn't, had the proper
data,
software update yet. The 0.5 patch is not in
still
there.
Still buffering.
So in Neo Hong Kong, Rain and her father.
I have a vague invention that could help us in this exact scenario.
The experience chair.
Yeah, the Kingdom Hearts. It's literally Kingdom Hearts, Dan. It's like, instead of hearts, it's brains. Yeah. That's it. That's all. You just gotta change it.
So Rain puts on this little sensor, and it's very, it's experimental. Yeah. It might not work.
Why did I invent this? I don't know.
But, it basically lets her autopilot Shining Gundam from where she is, and she manages to get Shining Gundam over to the Burning Gundam, and by interlocking their hands, she
and
kind
almost
of...
Kissing. Almost sexual kissing. Sexual tension between these Gundams.
Yeah, but they didn't have the robots kiss completely. Yeah. They all, it looks like they're gonna, but they don't.
They're scraping the sheen!
But with the hand touch, they are able to transfer the battle data into Burning Gundam and activate it.
And initially I was like, Rain passes out due to this. I was like, is Rain going to be in a coma? Is she going to die? No, she's fine in the next scene.
That's yeah.
Never mind. Why did I even assume such a dumb thing?
But then in a very cool moment, the Burning Gundam emerges and like Master Age is like, I'm going to focus everything to regenerate my limbs, which he can do because of the DG cells. Like sure. It lets them reassemble shit. And Doman's like, I'm not dealing with this. And he just fucking
rope-a-dopes him into the ground.
And then he's planted into the ground like a cartoon character explodes.
Yeah.
It's a culmination of all these episodes where Master Asia has just hassled the living shit out of everybody.
It's just annoying.
And he's like, I'm not letting you go. And Dolman's like, shut the fuck up. And just bodies him into the... And it is a very well done scene because even the Master Gundam seems to stand no chance against this thing. Mm-hmm. So Doman flies off, but, you know, waiting in the sky are, of course, the rest of the Death Army.
Well, no, he does the wrestling move, uses the, like, strings, he does the literal rope-a-dope, and rebounds himself into New Hong Kong.
Oh, well, yeah, we gotta...
Flies into space, bounces off the world's container ropes.
Well, yeah, because the tournament's starting in, like, 10 minutes, and...
I got 5 minutes to get to school.
The immediate airspace still has the para Koopas in the air. So, if we didn't mention it before, there are these structures floating around Earth that kind of look like a giant wrestling ring barrier, but they're lasers.
Yeah.
But hard lasers.
That you can bounce off of.
As per anime rules. And, again, Doman rope-a-dopes off them and slingshots himself, Star Trek style, across the Earth to Neo Hong Kong. Mm. But as he is approaching Neo Hong Kong with the counter getting close, four mysterious, other Gundams, because he briefly collides with them.
There was a bird.
Yeah. They're like animal themed, and we will see them soon. They are these mysterious folks
but
are
why?
Not. Well, because they're trying to stop.
They're just buffering. They're bopping him.
And, like, they're trying to stop him. But, again, seeing his friends and Rain, he manages to...
plow into them, killing them all.
Well, yeah, it was like, it would, you know, he gets there, but he takes out, like, half the business district and, you know, but he just gets to the Gundam runway.
Stops on a dime.
And, you know, with him there, you know, the narrator does tease that who are those four mysterious folks that just showed up? But everyone has happily convened in Neo Hong Kong, and the Gundam Fight Finals are about to begin.
There we go. And with that, Dan, we finished our episodes. Final thoughts? What did we think? I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a good place. It was a good pace to leave the series right now. I'm excited for this Gundam finale.
Mm-hmm.
This battle between the Gundam bots. Maybe my main man, Windmill Man,
will
show up and windmill.
Oh, well, I'll make sure that he does.
Well, now I have... Dan, now we have to see the windmill in action. It's been promised.
But no, I again, I don't know if my... I might switch to another series for my next couple episodes, but, you know, I wanted to make sure that we got at least this half of G Gundam done first. But these episodes, one of the many reasons I love this series is just, you know, like you said, the pacing, the energy. It is old school cheesy anime, but it is lovable because of that. You know, so there's a lot of martial arts, you know, douchebaggery going on. There's everything that you would expect from a kind of a shonen setup, but the Gundams are colorful, the characters are colorful, there's a lot going on in this show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the finals are just as much of a showcase of kind of like the vibrancy that this series had. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to showcasing that
eventually
on here. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a lot of interesting goobers who come in into the fold for that final stretch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But as I promised, you know, post-viewings from now on, we'll try to do recommendations.
Oh, yes.
And I decided to title this Tasting Time.
Ooh.
After our favorite character, Dent, or slash Silen, from,
yeah.
He was a Pokemon connoisseur who would pair people in pokes like wine and cheese.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do that. Like, okay. who would enjoy G Gundam?
Who would enjoy G Gundam? Big robot fans,
yes,
obviously. I think like old action movie people would like G Gundam.
Certainly,
they follow the same kind of necessary plot threads. You think, right? Master
yeah.
and student conveying on each other and being obsessed with one another, showing that power. I think that would work out fine.
Yeah,
I would say that. Obviously, if you're a fan of the heavy mecha fighting mode robot genre. Super Robot Monkey Force Hyper Force Go.
Oof,
that was close. No, I it's been a long time.
But no, like everything you mentioned, you know, I would also say that if you're hesitant to, you know, because one G Gundam is kind of, it doesn't have the baggage of you having to see every other Gundam mm-hmm. thing. You know, that's what kind of made it stand out when it was premiering. Was that it was this new timeline. So if you want to experience some Gundam, but you're not sure where to start, you can start with this one.
Yeah.
I would also say that you would enjoy this show if you're not a fan of, like, anime filler.
Mm.
Because G Gundam, even though we skipped episodes, it doesn't waste a lot of time.
Okay.
It even the episodes we skipped kind of provide good action, and mm-hmm. they provide character development for people besides Doman.
Mm.
So, if you kind of are hesitant to get into anime series because you know you don't want to watch 50 or so episodes and you're not sure what's going to be mm-hmm. accomplished, you know, G Gundam, like some other anime series, it only has about 49 episodes to work with in total.
Mm.
That was all they were guaranteed. That's all they got. The director was, or the producer, I should say, was confident that G Gundam's not going to be touched in terms of a sequel or any kind of supplementary like material besides the manga and everything that came out when it was premiering. But it is a very standalone enclosed mm-hmm. experience, and so it doesn't waste its time. It doesn't waste your time, mm-hmm. I should say. So if you, especially if you like seeing all these weird international Gundams and the characters that represent them, you know, every episode will have something for you to be interested in.
Take a taste.
Yeah.
Dive in. With that, Dan, where can our audience find you on social media?
You can follow me at King_Danis on Instagram, as well as our adjacent Anime Was Not a Mistake podcast Instagram account.
Mm, you can follow me, Jonathan Wachowski, at Losing My Mind JK on Instagram, Drink and Read JK on Twitter, or my other film/drinking podcast, Nightcaps of the Theater. Halloween doesn't stop at Nightcaps of the Theater. We're going for an extra month, probably till Christmas, but we're getting that content out to you. I have it. I'm just waiting on a certain little birdie.
Mm-hmm.
To place those episodes precariously on our little Facebook page, but thank you for listening to that. And with that, Dan, it's good that we're on the same wavelength so far. I feel like this is a good transition for where we stopped in Kill la Kill. We're gonna mm-hmm. pick up in Kill la Kill once more. If you remember, there may be a Gundam fight going on in this timeline, but in the separate timeline there is a Tri-City Schools raid trip that we have to get to.
Yes.
So will Philadelphia prove itself again and flip just in the nick of time? You'll have to listen and find out when we resume Kill la Kill.
Just try and stop us.
Here at Anime Was Not a Mistake, we have one mission. Whether you be a magical girl, a giant fighting robot, a raccoon, or just a fan of podcasts in general, we hope to one day arrive at a definitive answer to the following question. Is anime a mistake? While we obviously don't think so, there's no harm in expanding our weeb horizons now, is there? As of late, our humble little show is devoted to the analysis and discussion of movies, series, and episodes that show off that powerful art that is animation. However, none of this would be possible without listeners like you. If you like what you hear on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more, then why not support us on Instagram at Anime Was Not a Mistake Podcast, or on Facebook at Anime Was Not a Mistake Pod. We promise to go halfies on the sake with you. Join us, won't you? This time and the next. And with that, Dan and I leave you with a to be continued as the chill anime beats play. Sayonara!